Chapter 19. "What's wrong, Joe?" Skippy asked, his avatar affecting a concerned look. "You should be happy. The last mission was successful despite nearly everything going wrong, and we have a Maxalt dropship plus plenty of spare parts. I never thought we would get this far."
"This far isn't good enough, that's the problem," I answered with one elbow on the table, my chin resting on my fist. "I was moping, and I knew it, and I didn't care."
"We don't even know if those ships have started traveling to Earth yet, and we don't have a way to get the pixies we need to track those ships. What's the point of trying if I know we have zero chance to succeed in the end?"
"You're giving up already?"
"Let me rephrase that. You are giving up?"
No. "We may fail, but no way am I going D.O.R.
What?
D.O.R.
Come on, Skippy, you know military slang. Drop on request. The people on Smite's team qualified for special operations because they were pushed to their limits and were offered multiple opportunities to drop out, and they didn't. Those people do not know the meaning of quit."
"You did not qualify for special ops, Joe."
"I know that, and thank you so much for reminding me.
I never considered applying for the Rangers because I know I'm not mentally tough enough for that training.
Joe, astonishing as it may seem, and I am astonishing myself for even saying this, but you are mentally tough."
"Or, he mused. "Maybe it's just that you're very stubborn. Or maybe you're just too stupid to know when to quit. You never give up, even when you totally should."
That remark made me lift my chin up and sit back in my chair.
"What do you mean? There were times when I should have given up? Like when?"
"Like right from the start, duh.
Joe, you are trying to assure that Earth is safe forever.
That is unrealistic. A hopeless goal. No way can that happen. I told you, even by some freaking miracle, you succeed in chasing the two Maxalt ships away, and through another never-going-to-happen miracle, you somehow fix it so the Maxalts lose interest in going to Earth in the future. Your species is screwed, dude.
Less than 60 years from now, the entire galaxy will know the wormhole to Earth did not really go dormant, and they will be racing each other to get to your home planet. The purpose of their visit will not be to try the latest mystery meat version of a chalupa at Taco Bell."
"Chalupas are delicious, Skippy, but I get your point."
"You want me to give up? If I had given up before, we wouldn't have a cool Maxalt's dropship in a docking bay."
"Uh-huh.
And what good does that do for you? You monkeys risked everything on an operation that could have gone sideways at any point, and all you have is a senior species dropship you don't have a use for."
"We do have a use for it. All we need to do is..."
"Huh.
Crap. I was talking about giving up. Now you've got me determined not to do that.
Did you use reverse psychology on me?"
"Not that you know of, Joe," he chuckled.
"I'm not sure I did you a favor, because you're setting yourself up for crushing disappointment at the very least."
What? At the very least? What do you mean by that?"
"I mean you could seriously screw up and make the situation much, much worse for humanity."
"Crap. Thanks for the vote of confidence. Just being realistic, based on your track record."
"How about I worry about being realistic and you be nice and tell me happy feel-good bullshit that lifts my spirits?"
"Oh, sure, Joe.
Everything will be all right," he said in a slow, mechanical way, going through the motions. "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Keep your chin up. Although if you're in a fight, I think you want to keep your chin down. What else?" I should have known better than to ask him to cheer me up.
That's enough for now. I feel so much better."
"Oh, goody. So, inspired by encouraging words, you have a plan for breaking into those ultra-secure vaults to steal a set of pixies?"
"No, because we both agree that is impossible."
"Ugh. Was me telling you those happy feel-good cliches just a waste of my time?"
"Right, because that is what we need to focus on."
Slapping my laptop closed, I stood up. "It's my turn in the galley tonight. Maybe making dinner for the crew will inspire me."
It didn't.
Not only did serving dinner not inspire me, Skippy woke me up just as I was drifting off to sleep that night.
"Hey, Joe, are you asleep?"
"I'm not asleep now," I mumbled while throwing the pillow over my head.
"Unless the reactor is about to explode, can it wait until morning?"
There was a pause, and I began to hope for blissful sleep. Then he spoke in a low, sad voice. "I miss Margaret."
"Ah, shit.
Skippy being despondent because Adams was not part of the current crew was not an immediate crisis like an exploding reactor. But I had to talk with him because he was hurting, and damn it, he is my friend. Keeping the frustrated sigh I felt inside me so he wouldn't know I was annoyed at his lousy timing, I stuffed the pillow behind my head and sat partly up. Seeing I was awake, his avatar shimmered to life above a cabinet. I miss her too, Skippy.
Yeah, sure.
His tone was bitter. You miss a valuable member of the crew, and you miss her giving you ideas, even if she wasn't trying to. I miss Margaret as a friend.
I miss her as a friend, too.
He sighed.
You really blew it, Joe.
What do you mean? On this mission, you really are a pirate. Your silly military regulations don't apply. If Margaret were here, the two of you would be free to—
Whoa!
Now I was fully awake. Crap, it was going to take me a while to fall back asleep. Military regs are not silly, Skippy. They are there to ensure good order and discipline in a fighting force. Fighting. You understand that? We carry weapons because our job is to kill people and take territory away from them. I repeated a line I heard in basic training. I have to order people into situations that are dangerous. Situations where I know some people will get killed. Commanders are not allowed to fraternize with their troops because that could lead to favoritism, I explained. And as I said it, I was struck by how inadequate the word fraternize could be. Feeling sympathy with enemy prisoners of war was perhaps a good use of the word fraternize. Being in love with someone under your command required a term stronger and more focused. Whatever. I do not see why that matters, Joe, he insisted. You have ordered Margaret to perform missions when you knew she might be injured or killed. You did not keep her safely aboard the ship when others were taking risks. That is because she would not have accepted remaining behind, Skippy, and this conversation is getting into dangerous territory. I want to drop the subject, okay? Yeah, technically I am a pirate, and the military code of conduct does not apply. But we are acting as if the rules do apply, because that is what the team is used to, and because it works. The rules are there for a reason, to put the mission first. You understand that? If Adams were here, nothing would change. I would still be her commanding officer. But no buts, Skippy. Adams would consider me to be her CO, and I would too, and that's the end of it. How about we agree we both miss her? Okay. Thank you, Joe. I needed to talk about it.
No problem, man.
I reached out to offer him a fist bump, and his avatar floated over to complete the gesture.
Good night, Joe. Sleep well.
His avatar faded away.
Yeah, I thought. As if I could get to sleep after that conversation.
The next morning, I was in a foul mood. Not angry, just depressed. The ship was jumping toward the planet where the Maxalt manufactured pixies, and I did not have a plan for how to sneak us through the sensor fields around that planet. The operation at the moon base was high risk. A heist of pixies would be the riskiest op we had ever attempted. We could not afford screw-ups. While putting on my uniform, I called the beer can.
Skippy, that whole operation at the moon base was a mess. Nothing went right.
Except for the part about us getting a Maxalt's dropship in prime, well, good, okay, crappy, but mostly okay, barely flyable condition, and your secret didn't get exposed, and no monkeys were killed.
Well, that isn't the point. Smythe's team and us in that cavern, we had to make adjustments on the fly because of problems we should have anticipated, like a patrol of fighters disrupting the sensor field, or problems we should have avoided, like losing that power regulator thing, or Smythe's team making the crawler too heavy to climb that ravine.
I completely agree, Joe. Whoever planned that op has a lot to answer for. What a moron.
Hey, you should have...
It's a good thing this crew is not a democracy, Joe, because if you were up for re-election after this latest near fiasco, you wouldn't stand a chance.
Technically, because I disobeyed orders and stole the ship again, we really are pirates.
I read somewhere that pirates' crews used to choose their officers.
Really? That is interesting.
He dragged the word out.
Whatever. Before we launch the op to steal the pixies, we need to consider everything that could go wrong and have a backup plan.
Everything that could go wrong? Joe, you will not only need a plan B for every phase of the operation, you will also need backup plans C through Z.
If that's what it takes, then that's what we do.
Hey, I cut him off before he could protest. I've been thinking about the cover story we need. The report can't just state those Maxalt ships found nothing useful about the wormhole. It also needs to contain something that will make the Maxhulks not interested in a return visit to Earth.
Ooh, ooh!
Skippy hooted excitedly. I can post on TripAdvisor a one-star review of Earth. Skippy? For a second, I had actually hoped he was being helpful. No, you're right. A one-star rating meant the reviewer cared enough to really hate it. Earth isn't a place anyone hates. It's just so meh that nobody could possibly work up the energy to care about that ball of mud. Earth is the kind of place you fly to. Take a taxi along a highway lined with office parks to some anonymous suburban hotel for a conference on dental adhesives, and when you are ready to fly back, you realize you have no idea what city or state you are in, because all the chain restaurants are the same as every other city. See? Earth is the place where a couple years later, you are looking at vacation photos and you're like, was that Earth or that other place that I also can't remember? Yeah, what I should do is leave a 2-star rating with the comment that it might have received 3 stars, except the hotel pillows were lumpy. Slapping a palm over my face, I mumbled, do you have an idea that might actually work? Hey, you jerk, the beer can objected. I'm doing the best I can here. What have you... How about we focus on useful ideas, okay? Something that will make all star-fearing species in this galaxy totally uninterested in making the long trip to Earth. Hey, I slapped the desk. I got it. Well, the best part of this idea is, I grinned and flashed a thumbs up at his avatar. It is partly true. I read somewhere that the best lies contain a kernel of truth. That is what all political campaigns are based on, Joe, he agreed. What is this fabulous idea that suddenly popped into your monkey brain? It's simple. We have the Maxalt ship report that the Kristang and humans on Earth got into a firefight when the lizards tried to take over, humans nuked the Kristang, the lizards retaliated, and Earth is now a radioactive wasteland. So there's no reason to go there, I finished with a satisfied grin, leaning back in my chair. No, dum-dum, that may be your stupidest idea this week, although it would have to be pretty dumb just to be your most moronic idea of today. We can't do that because you would certainly be giving other species a reason to go there. What? The beer can had to be screwing with me. Who the hell would want a radioactive wasteland? Nobody does. That's the point, Joe. Damn, do I have to explain everything to you? If there was a case of nuclear weapons damaging a biosphere in direct and flagrant violation of the rules, that would certainly prompt a joint investigation by the Maxalks and the Rindaloo. So, if you want both senior species stopping by your home planet to investigate, and then, you know, actually nuking it into a glowing cinder... Go right ahead and do that stupid thing you suggested. His snarkiness pissed me off, so I argued with him. What if the report showed that only humans used the nukes? There would be no point trying to punish us for violating the rules. Our species would already be dead.
Joe.
He shook his ginormous hat sadly. You need to come into Mad Dr. Skippy's medical bay for a checkup. I suspect you can't actually hear the stupid ideas coming out of your mouth. First, dum-dum, the senior species... could punish humanity by exterminating the humans on Paradise, unless you don't care about them.
You do?
Okay, then think about this as the second reason your idea is plainly idiotic. The Rindaloo Coalition would love to find evidence that the Kristang at Earth also violated the rules, and the Maxalts would be eager to dispute any such conclusions, so both sides would be scrambling to get there first before the other side could plant or cover up evidence. Did that answer your brain-dead question?
Yes, I said quietly as I could.
What, I didn't hear you. Was that a yes?
You know what it was, I sighed. How about we have a new rule? I get to ask one stupid question per day without being mocked by you.
Ha! You would burn that privilege before your first cup of coffee in the morning. Forget it, Joe. Mocking you is my reward for suffering through the moronic babble that your brain dreams up. And it is your punishment for laziness. If you put any effort into thinking through your questions, you would answer them yourself without wasting my time. Here's a hint. Try using logic. It works great. Even while trying to develop a plan to save humanity, I needed to deal with mundane personnel issues. Fortunately, we had a small crew of well-disciplined people, so I rarely had anything to worry about concerning the crew. However, an issue came to my attention. And technically it did involve a member of the crew, even if his unofficial rank in the database was asshole first class. Skippy, this might be an awkward question, I called him from my office with the door closed because it was a somewhat delicate matter. Ugh, he was thoroughly disgusted. Is this about the birds and the bees again? All right, but you take notes this time while I explain it. Your parents should have... This question will be awkward for you, not me. Me? Ha! As if... He got a good laugh out of that. What question could a monkey ask that could possibly embarrass... Listen, do you have a crush on Lieutenant Frey?
What?
The high-pitched, nervous flutter in his voice did not persuade me of his innocence.
No way, dude! I am strictly professional! Why would you think something crazy like that?
Because you sure act like you have a crush on her. I'm not the only one who has noticed.
Hey, well, excuse me for trying to make the new crew member feel welcome.
Do all the new crew members have a bot to turn down their bed covers at night?
I don't see a mint on my pillow before I go to sleep.
Well, that's just... Colonel Sims says one of your bots has been clipping fresh gardenias from the hydroponics and putting them into a vase in Frey's cabin.
Jeez, can't a guy just...
Just what? I folded my arms and leaned back in my chair. I can't wait to hear you talk your way out of this one, beer can.
Fine, he pouted. Maybe I do like Katie a little better than most of you other monkeys. You know why, Mr. Nosey?
Because she is pretty?
Oh, come on, Joe, he chuckled, in a way that again was not convincing. As if I consider any of your weird species to be attractive. Please, dude, I like Katie because she is nice to me.
What?
Nice. You know, nice, like not calling me beer can and not thinking I am clueless and ridiculous sometimes.
Crap, Skippy is way too often clueless and ridiculous. If I tried to protest, he would analyze my heart rate or eye movements or whatever, and know I was lying. Maybe Frey just didn't have enough contact with Skippy to be jaded like the rest of us. Before my slow brain could grind out a reply, Skippy continued.
The other morning, she sang a duet with me while she was in the shower. She pretended a hairbrush was a microphone, and...
Skippy! I closed my eyes. It would really help if I did not have to think of any female crew members in the shower, if you don't mind. And right then, my traitorous brain popped up a vivid image of a woman, none-of-your-business witch woman, in the shower, with warm soapy water cascading over her shoulders and running down between...
Okay, how about guys in the shower?
Not the guys either, please. Okay, I'm sorry. It's great that the two of you get along so well. Sorry I mentioned it. I apologize.
The only thought in my confused brain was how bad was Frey's taste in music that she enjoyed Skippy singing.
So I asked her. She was getting coffee in the galley, and I walked over to stand by the coffee pot.
Good morning, Frey, I said in what was supposed to be a neutral tone.
Being in special operations apparently had given her ninja lie detector skills, or she also had a spidey sense for trouble.
Good morning, sir. She peered at me over taking a sip of coffee. What's wrong?
Nothing. I was instantly on the defensive. Just, I jerked my head to indicate we should go to a quiet corner of the galley to talk. She sat down across the table from me.
Skippy tells me you like to sing in the shower with him.
That was said with a nervous glance at the ceiling. Nagatha was supposed to be covering for me, so Skippy could not hear the conversation. Her eyebrows flew up, and she set the coffee mug down firmly.
"Skippy tells you what I do in the shower?"
she hissed a bit too loudly. Other people turned to look at us. Her hands closed around the mug until her knuckles turned white.
"He had better not be taking pictures, or that little..."
"No pictures," I waved my hands in a downward gesture to keep her voice low. "And no details. Just he mentioned you're nice to him, and..." I spread my hands on the table. "One thing he likes is you sing with him while you're in the shower, so, I really was trying not to think of her in the shower, but my stupid brain was not getting the memo. I was wondering, you actually enjoy Skippy singing?"
"No, eh?" she laughed. "I like to sing, and, you've heard me at karaoke, right?"
Indeed I had. Lieutenant Katie Frey had many talents. Singing was not one of them. Wisely, all I did was nod.
"I invited him to sing with me because when I'm in the shower, I really can't hear him," she explained. "It makes him happy without me having to listen, you know?"
"Crap," I slapped my forehead. "Why didn't I think of that?"
"You won't tell him my secret?" she asked with a fearful glance at the ceiling.
"Hell, Frey, I would like to start singing duets with him in the shower so I wouldn't have to listen to him sing other times. Except he would get suspicious. Keep doing what you're doing, and I won't say a word." She tilted her head.
"Can I ask why you wanted to know, sir?"
"Truth? I couldn't believe any sane person would want to hear Skippy sing." Lunch that day was good, not just sandwiches this time, but something about it made me suspicious. After I finished and put my plate in the tray to be washed, I walked to a cargo bay where Sims had a sort of office. Normally, the bay would be stacked to the ceiling with crates. This time, there were only three lonely crates sitting in a corner. Sims had a tough time letting go of acting as our logistics officer in addition to my XO, despite Nagatha being fully ready to handle logistics.
"Hello, sir."
She barely looked up from a tablet. "How's the garden?" I started with small talk. The previous morning, I had worked in the hydroponics garden, and the little plants appeared to be growing well. The science team amateur biologists working there were pleased. But they did not have years of experience growing food in space. Jennifer Sims did.
"Well enough. We don't have enough peppers to eat. Those seeds weren't aboard when we stole the ship.
Appropriated the ship," I insisted. "There's a difference."
"Not to the plants, there isn't. We'll use the first two crops of peppers for seeds, then we'll be all right."
"Good. Hey, at lunch, I noticed we've been serving a lot of mac and cheese." Silently, she stood up and waved a finger for me to follow her aft to another cargo bay. This one was half full, and many of the crates had been opened, I guess so she could inspect the contents and balance our nutritional needs. Sims knew stuff like that. We were very lucky to have her aboard. With the toe of her boot, she tapped the side of a crate.
"Somebody dirt side screwed up, and there wasn't time to fix it before we left. We got a triple shipment of these boxes, and we need to use up what we have."
She picked one up and showed it to me.
"Pasta shells and white cheddar."
For some reason I can't explain, because I do not know how the sack of mush in my skull works, an old classic rock song popped into my head, and I made up my own lyrics. "Shells and white cheddar, how much did they send? Boxes I've eaten, never reaching the end. 'Cause I love them. Yes, I love them. Oh, how I love them." Jennifer Sims bowed her head, holding a hand over her face. Her shoulders were shaking, so I lightly put a hand on her shoulder to see if she was okay. She looked up with tears in her eyes, but they were tears of laughter. She reached up and patted my hand, then squeezed it. Wiping away tears with the back of her hand, she shook her head.
"Thank you for reminding me why I love being a merry pirate."
"You want to know what's really funny? That's one of my mother's favorite songs, and for a long time, like years, I thought it was about knights. Knights, you know, wearing armor." She cocked her head at me.
"The song is Knights in White Satin."
"Yeah, I thought those knights were wearing white satin capes over their armor."
"Seriously? What kind of knights wear satin?
What kind of guy sleeps in satin sheets?"
"Porn stars?" she guessed. "That song was written back in the 60s.
Seeing the crate of fancy mac and cheese got me worried. "We have too much of this stuff, so maybe we don't have enough of something else. Are we missing anything important?"
"No, we're light on some things, but with the reduced crew size, we'll be okay. I insisted on combat loading so the ship would be ready to go at a moment's notice. What I didn't expect was not being able to call down to Earth for any last-minute items we forgot. The garden is the same size. We even have some improved equipment there. With fewer people being fed by the garden, we'll have plenty of fresh food. This time we're trying dwarf fruit trees like apples, peaches. We could have fresh peaches."
"I'm hoping so," she replied with a twinkle in her eyes. "I love fresh peaches. Sims, I will be in that garden every day if you need help."
"Your job," she tapped the name tag on my uniform, "is to stop those ships from coming to Earth. You do that, and I'll take care of the garden. We have plenty of crew who appreciate a break in the garden, and some of the engineer-scientist types are eager to help me with the garden."
"Don't let them take over, Sims. It's your garden."
"Three of them have PhDs in biology and biochem-"
"Yeah, and zero of them have practical experience growing food aboard a starship. Your garden, your responsibility, your rules. I'll speak with our unexpected science team if I need to. While I'm happy to have them with us, they are passengers. They can't be allowed to compromise operation of the ship."
"I won't let that happen,"